Welcome to worship, everyone. We've had another good busy week in the shop and the cafe, and the weather has been good all week. It was great to see Susan Upton from Derby, who popped in on Thursday. She is back in Skegness at her summer residence with Cheryl and Keith. Our thanks to Susan for a belated Easter offering donation. We've been without Stuart for this week in the shop as his wife Joanna was taken into hospital on Monday. She was back home on Friday without any positive diagnosis. Our thanks to Margaret for stepping in for a couple of days. Now thanks to Eleanor. We continue to pray for Stuart and Johanna. It was Stuart Darby's birthday on Friday, and so as I forecast last week, we all enjoyed some cake to celebrate. Stuart and Dot are off to Wales on a short holiday, so we wish them safe travelling and an enjoyable trip. So now we continue to celebrate the Easter event. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Let's sing Majesty. Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the first letter of Peter, chapter 1. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead. Now that you have been purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen. Let us pray. Risen Saviour, risen Lord, we gather as your people from our various homes, as brothers and sisters in Christ. You brought us together in this place. Let our hearts burn within us as we worship you, that we may know you through word and deed. We acknowledge that you died for us and rose again, and that those who believe this have been saved with your precious blood. Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy, who walks with us along life's way, give us your bliss in our hearts, Lord, at the break of this day. Give us your strength in our hearts, Lord, at the noon of this day. Give us your love in our hearts, Lord, at the eve of this day. And give us, we pray, your peace in our hearts, Lord, at the end of the day. Alleluia. Risen Lord Jesus. Amen. So let's sing, Lord of all hopefulness. Well, you may have found those words from the first letter of Peter that I read as our call to worship a bit strange. But, as I said last week, Peter was probably writing to people who were exiled from their homeland, people who now find themselves living in an often hostile world. It seems nothing much has changed in over 2,000 years. And in fact, that's why this passage is so relevant for us today, as it has been down through the centuries. What Peter is saying in his letter is that whatever assaults the wider world inflicts on them, they are now kept safe in the community of believers and in the God they have started to trust as Father. They owe their newfound security to the grace of the crucified and risen Jesus. And what is more, Peter is telling them that Jesus' resurrection is not merely life after death, but the heavenly glory of God. These words breathe hope into troubled times. They did then and they do now. And I want you to hold on to that as the message expands this. The resurrection of Jesus was indeed the pivotal turning point of world history. And once again this month, we have celebrated Easter. The theme for our worship this month is, we have seen him. For indeed we have seen him in his resurrection power. The same power which was displayed to his disciples as he appeared to them, leaving them in no doubt, even doubting Thomas, that Jesus really was their Lord and their King. Today, as we continue to celebrate Easter, we hear another account of Jesus' resurrection appearances. Indeed, we eavesdrop, so to speak, on an intimate conversation between Jesus and two disciples as they journey to Emmaus. We shall see how, while at first the disciples fail to recognize Jesus, in the end, the risen Christ is revealed as he breaks bread. The disciples were filled with awe and wonder, wanting more and more to know Jesus. After all that we have witnessed, we too should want to know Jesus and his resurrection power. We want to know Jesus and become one with him, because when we become one with him by trusting him, we experience the very power that raised him from the dead. We experience the power of his resurrection, a power that brings healing, forgiveness, and a wonderful love. And we have learned that if we ask Jesus to forgive us, he does indeed forgive us our sins. And what is more, he lives in our hearts through the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. That's truly the most wonderful experience we can ever have. The moment when we see Jesus for who he really is, the Son of God. And we invite him into our lives. And he takes us into his life. It's simply amazing and astonishing that we can have a personal relationship with God in this way. And that Jesus then says to us, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." Indeed, if we but knew it, Jesus is walking beside us every step we take on the journey of life, through all the good things and the bad things that we experience. So our theme today, as we've once again followed Jesus' resurrection appearances to his disciples, is we have seen him walking beside us, for indeed he is. Well, more of that later, but first let's come to God with prayers and songs of praise. Let's pray. Risen Lord, we know that we walk our journey together with each other, but most importantly, we are together with you. We can talk to you and share everything with you along the way of our journey. Today and every day we rejoice that your hand has guided your flock from age to age. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's sing, "Thy hand, O God, has guided." So the psalmist writes in Psalm 116, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangle me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Let us pray. Lord, as we listen once again to the accounts of your life here on earth, we pour out our stories to you, right where we are. Meet us here and now. Quieten our chattering minds and draw us close, so close that we can feel your presence and hear your voice. Warm our hearts until they burn within us. Open our eyes so that we can see. Tell us your purpose for the human race and reveal our place in it. Lead us on into your way. Lord, we thank you that you come and meet us where we are. We thank you that you walk the road with us, that you treat us as equal even when we fail to recognize you. We thank you that you always love us, always care for us, always want to share our lives. Such is your love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are not a stranger, but our friend. Lord, we give you thanks for the promise of life, for the promise of what might be, for potential, for our freedom to act for your goodness in any situation. Lord, we give you thanks for the possibility of change. And Lord, we worship and adore you. And Lord, forgive us for the times when we walk through life with our heads down, our vision limited to what is going on around us, confined within the pressures of our day as problems press in, expand, and prevent our seeing you for who you really are. And Lord, even in those times, when we find it hard to see you, you still walk with us, every step a revelation of your love, a gentle leading on to boundaries of understanding we have not yet crossed. Every moment of our life, you walk with us, quietly sharing our lives. Have patience, Lord, have patience, for even when we fail to show it, we really do want to know you, to love you, and to walk beside you. Thank you, Lord, that in your grace you forgive us, and you walk the way with us, always welcoming us back into your presence. You feed our souls with comfort and hope, teaching us to see life in a new light. Lord, you know all the things that we've ever done, but we know that your blood has cancelled everyone. Oh Lord, such grace to qualify us as your own. Thank you for your forgiving love. Thank you for now there is a new song in our mouths, there is a deep cry in our hearts, a hymn of praise to Almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's sing, When I Was Lost, You Came and Rescued Me. Let us pray. Lord, as we relive those wonderful moments when you appeared to your disciples after your resurrection, when you released them from their guilt, their sorrow and their fear, indeed, when you made such a difference to their future lives, we know that you can and will make such a difference to our lives and to the lives of others, especially those who are burdened with doubt, sorrow, sickness, anxiety, grief and loneliness. Lord, at a time when many lives are being lost through violence and unrest, we pray to you, our Saviour. We pray for the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of Israel, the leaders of Iran and other Middle East countries. We pray for our Prime Minister and other leaders. And we pray for caution, wisdom and a desire for peace to be present in all of their thinking, speaking and actions. For care to be taken in what is made public to avoid an escalation of death and destruction. For calm and caution to replace aggression and threatening words. For peace to reign. Lord, walk alongside them. Lord, we pray to you, our Saviour, for those who make decisions and live their lives to help people and change others for the better. For all those involved in the health service who may feel overwhelmed and under pressure. For those who set an example and encourage others. We pray for teachers and educators, for social workers, those working in courts, and those working for agencies that help anyone in need. For those in our church communities who, in a little but vital way, set an example to others. Lord, walk alongside them. And Lord, we pray to you, our Saviour, for those who are struggling to understand your almighty plan for the world, for those who, like the disciples walking with Jesus, fail to see him with them. For those who are losing faith and losing their way. For those who are feeling lost and do not know your presence close to them. Lord, walk alongside them. And Lord, we pray to you, our Saviour, and we thank you that every one of your children is precious in your sight, seen by you and known by you, from the first to the last of our days. Comfort and strengthen those who mourn. Bring peace to those who are frightened. And be with us all. And Lord, we pray for those who need a sign of your presence with them this week. Those who are sick in body, mind or spirit. We ask for your comforting presence to aid them in their pain. We pray for patience and courage for all those who look after them. We pray for the lonely, isolated and the housebound. Help them to know that your resurrection means that there is hope for the future. And Lord, in a moment of quiet, remember before you those situations and people known to us by name. Lord, may they recognize you. May they know your love. May they recognize you walking beside them on their journey through life and so feel the great comfort of knowing you are with them every step of the way. And Lord, as you taught us, so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, we remember that through many dangers, through many snares, we have already come, but we were not overwhelmed. For you have shown love, unfailing love. And we believe the grace that brought us safe this far is the grace that will lead us home. Father, we thank you for your grace. We are lost in wonder, love and praise. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's sing Grace That Will Lead Us Home. 16 continues, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Thanks be to God for his word." So the psalmist says, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me?" Well, of course, one way is to make our offering of our lives and resources to the Lord. So let's pause now to make our offering to the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you that as we walk through this transitory life, you are walking with us, and in return we seek a closer walk with you. So, Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth, as we seek a closer walk with you. Amen. So let's sing, Oh for a Closer Walk with God. Now, if we're a bit slow to recognise the risen Jesus in our lives, we're certainly not alone. In those heady days after the resurrection, there were three recorded occasions when Jesus' closest followers failed to recognise him. The first was when Mary failed to recognise Jesus in the garden. I think she could have been excused. It was dawn. She probably hadn't slept much since the crucifixion. And after all, she was the first to experience this mind-blowing event. But by the time of the next two incidents, word was on the street and the disciples had time to take it in. First in the story we're going to hear this morning, and then when Jesus met his disciples on the beach. Again, in fairness, perhaps in both situations, the disciples were too bruised by events to take it all in, punch drunk by the force of the blows that had hit them, reeling from the shock of great change, and almost unable to adjust to it. There are people like that today. People so battered by the circumstances that they find themselves in, that good news is almost impossible to accept. Maybe we've been there too, bruised by events. Few of us like change. It makes us insecure. We prefer the known, the familiar. It's increasingly hard to make sense of some of the social, moral and political changes that we're living through, both domestically and on the world stage. But remember what the Apostle Peter was saying. Whatever assaults the wider world inflicts on us, we are now kept safe in the community of believers and in the God we have started to trust as Father. And so we all need to remember that Jesus is walking with us through all the changes, as he was with the first disciples on the road to Emmaus. Let's hear now from Luke's Gospel.
The reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning with us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen."
So we read in Luke's Gospel, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. I suppose we all take for granted that the resurrected Jesus looked exactly like he did before he died. I have to say, for the many years that I've reread these accounts for the first Easter, I've never really thought any different. But as I've been preparing the message for today, I've been led to giving those some serious thought to just what those disciples did see. I've looked up all the accounts in each gospel of Jesus appearing to his disciples and the woman who visited the tomb. And you know, the same thing happened in every appearance. They didn't recognize Jesus. It wasn't until he spoke, or in today's reading, he broke bread. Well, we could just assume that it was sheer grief that blinded them to Jesus, and that when he actually did something that they had seen only him do, or indeed when they saw the scars of the crucifixion, the penny dropped and they actually woke up to the fact that it was Jesus. But as I thought more and more about this, I've come to the conclusion that perhaps there is more to it. Perhaps Jesus did look different, and perhaps his intention was to make a very important point. So, what was he trying to do? Well, I believe that the message was then and is now that we shouldn't get too hung up on the physical presence of Jesus in our lives. Because if we do, we are in danger of not actually seeing him. Last week we sang a song in which the words were, "I only have to close my eyes to know that you are near. And I only have to look around and I see you everywhere." You know, this is so true, because God is actually present in the whole of creation. Jesus is the Son of God. Indeed, he is actually God, as is the Holy Spirit. Okay, I know this is a bit complicated. Actually, it's hard to take in. But the point is that God is actually present in the whole of creation. Okay, we've seen him and Jesus in various pictures that have been used to illustrate events in the Bible. There is, of course, the famous painting of the Last Supper. So it's not surprising that we may have an image of what we think Jesus looks like. And we can translate this to give an impression of what God looks like too. But if we rely on this, we make the mistake that those first disciples did. And the women, of course, who made the visit to the tomb. And that is, we look for physical presence, whereas God is actually present in the whole of creation. He is present in each one of us. He is present in everything that has life, because that life was created by God. This, of course, helps to explain the account in Genesis regarding the creation of man and woman. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we read, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." Well, if we take that literally, it actually doesn't make sense. Why? Well, because we know that everyone is different to look at, that is, and in the way they act. So, what does it mean, in the image of God he created them? Well, I believe the clue is in the fact that everyone who encountered Jesus in those first hours and days following his resurrection recognized him when he spoke or performed a familiar action, in particular, of course, the breaking of bread, just as he had done at the Last Supper. So what is this saying to us? Well, it's this. God's presence is nothing to do with a visual image. Yes, we all look different. It's about what we say and what we do. And if we live according to God's words, the very words that brought us to life, then we will recognize God in each other. Then we will see that God is walking beside us. Indeed, he is in us. And he is walking beside everyone else who he is also in. Okay, let's just pause there. It's a huge thing to take in. But you know, it makes sense. God created us in physical ways that would enable this planet to thrive and produce fruit. But it takes more than just a physical body to do that. How we live, how we speak, how we act is just so vitally important for the task. And as we know, the human race has, by and large, screwed up the job we were created for. Because by and large, we don't live as we were created to live. We say the wrong things. We do the wrong things. We don't follow the Maker's instructions. Just try and imagine for one moment what the world would be like if everybody had the attitude of God. No more fighting, wars, deceit, greed, fear, suffering, domination, untimely death. All of what we fear in life simply disappeared. Paradise. And if you think about it, that is how we see paradise. Everyone living in love and peace. And of course, we think this can only happen in the next life. That's because this world is in a state of confusion and despair. And we find such a situation of despair in our gospel reading following the death of Jesus. Walking on the road towards Emmaus, Cleopas and his companion have been discussing that news, they knew him. They'd hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. But their hopes have been dashed. He died. His body was gone. The unknown traveller listens to them as they share their story, their hopes, their pain, their sadness. And then he starts to share his perspective. It's like he's saying, "Can we start again, please? You know, right now, times are confusing, frightening and challenging for most of us. But God hears us and meets us where we are. He hears our stories and the cry of our hearts. And what is more than that, he longs to meet with us and draw us into his story. We have seen him, not just when we break bread together, but in the whole of creation. But if you don't see him, then you should seriously ask yourself why. Because it's not Jesus who hides himself from you, but you who hide yourselves from him. He was always at your side in every aspect of your life. He is walking beside us. Indeed, he is in us. On the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and the other unnamed disciple wanted Jesus to remain with them. They wanted to remain with him. But as they had always known Jesus through his physical presence, they couldn't actually get their heads around the fact that it was Jesus walking by their side, let alone take on board that even though he would leave them again, from now on he would be with them always in his resurrected power. He would be with them through the Holy Spirit, empowering them with this Spirit. Yet, despite their lack of understanding of the future, they were beside themselves with joy once they recognized him through the breaking of bread. Slowly and gently, Jesus had shown them the significance of what had happened in the days before. He had helped them put the apparent catastrophe of the crucifixion behind them. He put the whole story event into its proper context, the context of the very scriptures with which they would have been so familiar with, and yet, up until then, had been unable to fully understand. Perhaps on their way back to Jerusalem, all the things that Jesus had said might just have started to fall into place. Perhaps they remembered the lesson Jesus had taught them about the vine and its branches, when he had said, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." This is Jesus' way of saying that he's walking beside us every day and night of our lives. We can accept that, or we can ignore it at our peril. If you do acknowledge that Jesus is walking beside you, not only will you be full of the resurrection power, but you will have an almighty task. And that task is to bear fruit. And the fruit is the building up of the kingdom of God, Jesus' body on earth, the church. Because through resurrected people, Jesus is building his church. Indeed, he is wanting to build a new society. Everyone's saying and doing what God created us to do and to say. And what a world that will be. Sometimes God has to pull us up in our tracks and remind us of our responsibility in all this. We have been given the resurrection power in order to bear fruit for the kingdom. Many people try to be good, honest people who do what is right. But Jesus says, the only way to live a truly good life is to stay close to him, walk with him. Apart from Jesus, our efforts are unfruitful, whether we like it or not. As Christians, we are called not just to follow Jesus, but to remain in him at all times and at all cost. Indeed, to walk with him, for he is walking beside us. We have to be him in what we say and what we do. This is at the heart of a life lived in the power of the resurrection. Just remember, this is how we were created to live. The moment of revelation for the disciples on the road to Emmaus is gentle and brief. Almost at once he vanished from their physical sight, but their hearts were burning within. My dear friends, the work of Jesus did not end with the cross, or even at the empty tomb. He is risen indeed, and a new journey begins, and we are part of that journey. All we have to do is acknowledge that each and every day we have seen Jesus walking beside us, and what is more, we have the responsibility of ensuring that other people see Jesus walking beside them. And remember, never once did he leave us on our own. Amen. So let's sing Never Once.
Never once.
Lord Jesus, as you walked on the road to Emmaus, walk with us on the roads we travel. Help us to know your presence with us and to be your presence to others. And may we all enjoy your world and the people you have created. And so now we go in love and peace to serve you, Lord, and your people, and to walk with Jesus. And we go with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.